Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Philippe Zink from Paul Zink Wineries. How are you, Philippe?
I'm fine, very fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. We're going to be talking a wee bit about Alsace, Paul Zink Wines, all that sort of stuff today.
Okay.
I presume Paul Zink is your father.
Yes, Paul Zink is my father, and he actually set up the winery in the 60s. So for our region, we are actually quite a young winery.
Mm-hmm. So quite young, but Alsace is quite an old wine-producing region. How did you get started in there? Did he just buy a vineyard and say, right, this is what I'm going to do? Did he come from a viticultural family?
No, my grandfather generation was not focusing that time on wines for the simple reason that the people at that time were quite poor, and in the countryside, the people were just farming what they could, what was growing the best. Mm-hmm. And as a fact, in this area, growing vines was making good grapes and then good wine. So my grandfather had a little bit of vine, but he was more doing polyculture. They had also cereals, etc., because yep. They were trying to make, trying to feed themselves with their own production. Mm-hmm. Like really most majority of the people, there were at that time just a rare number of wineries who still exist, but it was not.
Flourish.
Yes.
And when did wines and winemaking and all that really take off in Alsace?
That really take off actually after the Second World War in 55-60, the generation of my father, they noticed that they could make a good way of living, focusing on viticulture and dropping the rest of the farming. So they decided to plant noble varieties like Riesling, Pinot Gris, Gewürztraminer, and they really developed the area and started to produce really high-quality wines. Because before, our history in our area was difficult because we turned to be once Germans and then yeah. French, and with all these wars, it was not possible to establish something solid and a structure. Mm-hmm. So that way, it started quite late after the Second World War only.
Alsace, in terms of where it is in France?
Alsace is actually on the northeast part of France, right on the Rhine, border. The particularity of our area is actually we have a semi-continental climate, which for that reason we are actually specialized on white wine. We produce 80% white wines, we produce 10% red wine and 10% sparkling wine.
It's a Cremant d'Alsace, isn't it?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. So we slither between, what's the name of the mountain? Vosges, is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes, Vosges? Yes, Vosges, is that the mountains.
Yeah.
Medium high level mountains, maximum is 1,400 meters. And actually, this barrier mountain is really beneficial for us because that protects us from all the storms who comes from the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it will surprise you, but in Colmar, which is in the center of Alsace, it's a place where there is one of the less rainfall from all over France.
Okay.
So in our area, you have similar rainfall than comparing to Nice in south of France or to Marseille.
One of the things about Alsace that's quite difficult is there's a lot of different grape varieties grown there. How many grape varieties are there?
There are a total of 7 grape varieties. 6 are white grapes and 1 is a red grape. So you have Sylvaner, Pinot Blanc, Riesling, Muscat, Pinot Gris, Gewürztraminer, who are the 6 whites, and the red grape is Pinot Noir.
And are they grown all over Alsace?
Yes, definitely all over. With still a trend, I mean, north of Alsace, there is more Riesling, and on the south of Alsace, there is more Pinot Gris and Gewürztraminer.
I've been doing a wee bit of research on Alsace. It's not an area I'm hugely familiar with, but I've tried a few wines from there. Is that the history, looking at the history, the things like the Grand Crus are quite a recent development. What's going on there? When did you develop your Grand Cru appellations?
The Grand Cru appellation started, I believe, in 1972. You're right, it's something which is quite recent and something which is still in movement, still in improvement, still in change. I mean, on the production side, we, the winemakers, the growers, we want really to continue to increase the level of our wines in this appellation. We noticed
in terms of quality, quantity.
Yeah. No, there is no goal of that. But quality wise, we are working, researching more and more on our terroirs and trying to increase our wines. Even more than before, because I think we can still continue to go forward very much, and we there is a big thread from the production side in Alsace to go really forward on the quality of these wines.
On the production, it's interesting you say production side, because things that I've read, there's quite a lot of largest merchants in Alsace who are known for their own branding, and they don't necessarily put Grand Cru on the label. Is there a conflict between, say, some of the larger merchants and the smaller winemaker people?
No, there is not a conflict. It's just that these wineries who don't use Grand Cru names but use cuvée names made out of this Grand Cru parcel is for the simple reason is that these are wineries who are old, established, and before the Grand Cru appellation was created, they were already producing these cuvée wines. So for them, it was difficult to change the name because they had an established distribution and recognized cuvée. So unfortunately, they decided to continue to maintain their name cuvée. Perhaps they will change one day again.
I noticed that a lot of the Grand Cru vineyards are closer to the hills. If you look at, you've got the Vosges Mountains.
Yes.
And then on the other side of the mountains, you've got hills with trees. And then the Grand Cru seem to be quite close to the trees on the right-hand side of the mountains. But, you know.
Actually, the Grand Cru parcels are located really in the heart of the slopes. Mm-hmm. It's not on the top of the slope.
Yeah,
like everybody thinks, it's more in the middle. Mm-hmm. For the simple reason that on the top, the altitude is higher, and then the temperature goes down of 1 degree Celsius or half a degree Celsius. This has a big impact during the maturation. So right in the heart of the hill, it's much better.
And why not at the bottom of the hill?
On the bottom of the hill?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, if you've got the Grand Cru vineyards in the middle of the slope,
yes.
What's below them? Why are they not Grand Cru?
Well, simply because on the bottom, you need to wait until 10 a.m. in the morning until the sun will touch these parcels.
Oh, okay.
There is less exposition to the sun. And also on the lowest part of the hill, the quality of the soil is not as good as on the middle or on the top of the hill.
Usually the soils are a lot more fertile at the bottom.
Exactly, yes.
But also sun. I hadn't really thought about sun as being an issue.
Because you have a hill until the sun goes high and touches the flat space.
Yeah.
It's 10, 11 a.m. The opposite, if you have a mountain, the mountain is higher than the Rhine Valley.
Yeah.
So as soon as 7 a.m. when the sun is shining, it touches immediately the hill.
Ah, yeah, now that makes a lot of sense, actually. That's pretty good. Silly things like that sometimes trip you up, isn't it? And the Vosges Mountains, they're quite important from a climatic point of view because they do change the weather on the Alsace side.
Yes, extremely important. Actually, the Vosges Mountains really protect us from the storms who come mainly from the Atlantic Ocean. So simply the storms, the water remains in the mountains. The sky is cloudy, but there is no rain who falls. And the fact that the sky is cloudy, especially in the summertime, makes that the temperature goes down in summertime. So the temperature is cooler, and to produce dry whites, you need acidity. if it's too warm, takes the acidity away out of the berry, and then the wine will be flat.
Do you get big temperature differences between evenings and daytime, or nights and daytime?
Well, I would say in summertime, temperature at night is around 20 degrees, and during the day, normal temperature should be 28 degrees.
Okay, so there's not a big difference between the two. So that's why you need that not so hot during the day, or else you lose your acidity. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So for us, global warming is important.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to be benefiting from global warming?
Not benefiting, no. 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 Again, producing white wine, we need, of course, sun, but sun with cool temperature and dry area. So we don't want that it gets warmer in our area.
I've always found some of the marketing from Alsace coming out as, you know, think Asian, drink Alsace. Have you seen that campaign?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I don't always think of Gewürztraminer. It's a nice spicy food, but it's got high alcohols often. And I always think high alcohol with a bit of heat in the food isn't necessarily a good combination. Is it a campaign that you think is working for Alsace?
Well, hopefully it's working, and it's difficult to always give a response. Is it really working? It's difficult to measure that. But what is sure is that most of the consumer don't know what to drink when they have a hot food like Thai food, usually they order a white wine who can be oaky, and then it doesn't match very well. And in the Alsace wines, we have the Gewürztraminer, which so far is a wine that everybody drinks French way, which is with strong cheese, dessert, aperitif, and that's it. And actually, there are plenty of opportunities once you open the food to world food, to Thai food, to Japanese food. And then the Gewürztraminer is not anymore a dessert or cheese wine, but it's really a wine for a meal. And that's great, because that brings lots of opportunities.
Yeah. You mentioned about Gewürztraminer going with desserts, etc., but historically, Alsace wines have been quite dry in the past, and they seem to be going through a phase of being a bit sweeter these days. Is that more to make them food friendly, or what's driving that sort of change in style?
Unfortunately, in the 90s, there was a sort of trend to produce late harvest wine in France.
Yep.
We had several vintages who were really good vintages to produce this type of wine. And then and it was really the beginning, yes, of the late harvest wine. So some customers said, well, finally, Alsace wine with a little bit of residual sugar tastes nice. And they get seductive by this. So the producers started to produce this type of wine, and which is actually a mistake, because the wines with residual sugar doesn't match well during a meal. It's a nice wine to enjoy out of a meal. When you sit in the garden, you open a bottle of wine. It's great, but with food, Riesling, which is not dry, with fish, it doesn't make sense. So personally, I'm opposite of that. Right now, I feel in Alsace there is a change. A lot of producers understand that we have to come back to really bone dry wines like we did before. So I would say right now you can find both. It depends really on the philosophy of the winery. And we personally, we are running dry, except for the Gewürztraminer, where we accept to have a more roundness, a little bit of sweetness, because it matches well with the fruit of the wine. But the rest, we build them all dry, because I mean, with food, you need dry wines. And also, I think that when you have a wine who's drier, it shows better the terroir, where the wine is made of, and also the real fruit character of the grape variety.
Talking about Pulsnick wineries themselves, they've grown quite a lot, from 2.5 hectares when your father first planted up to now 30 hectares. And they're all based around
Eggisheim. It's our village, who's located center 5 kilometers southwest from the town Colmar. It's one of the major village from the wine route, like Kaisersberg, Turkheim, Ribeauvillé. In our village, you have 1,500 people who are living. There are 30 wineries, about 20 restaurants and hotels. So everything is on food and wine.
One of the things with Alsace I always trouble is it's Haute Rhine and Basse Rhine. Is that right?
Yes.
And Haute Rhine is down the southern end of Alsace, and Basse Rhine is on the top. What does Haute and Basse mean, and why is it called Haute Rhine and Basse Rhine? Because I can never remember them, but I think if you tell me what they mean, I might have a chance.
It means, Haut-Rhin means...
Haut-Rhin, is that the right way of pronouncing it?
Haut-Rhin is Rhine, and Haut is high, on the top, and Bas is on the bottom. It's because of the sense that the Rhine is floating. Running. So the Rhine is actually going from south to north.
Ah, so Haute Rhine is actually higher because the Rhine's going northwards.
Exactly.
So, okay, now that makes sense. Because I always thought, you know, you look at the maps, and because I knew that Haute meant high.
Yes.
But I just couldn't quite work out.
I understand, but it's because of the sense of that the river is going.
Someone said, or I read somewhere, that around Colmar and around where you guys are, Eaglesheim, the Vosges Mountains are a bit taller there as well, which gives you just a slightly better rain shadow. Is that true, or have I missed?
What is sure is that in our area, it's even drier than up north, so it's not wrong. I mean,
it's drier, but are the mountain range higher?
Yes, they are higher, but it's not as it's not just right next to Colmar. I mean, the mountains are higher, but it's deeper in the mountain chain.
Oh, okay.
It's not dry. It's not just right outside Colmar or Eggisheim that you have the highest. It's in the mountain chain, but deeper inside.
And what do you think the future is for Alsace wine? Obviously, you're a producer, so it's all guns blazing, but do you think with global warming there'll be a change in styles? Because from what you're saying, it sounds like you're very close to the margin on the styles of grapes and the grapes grown there.
Well, we would not like that the climate warm, because it would change our wine. The characteristic of our wines is that they are very fruity, very aromatic, because our grapes are very aromatic, but these are also wines who are very fresh, very dry, very lively, very crispy, and wine for food. So if the climate warms, we will lose the acidity, the freshness, and that will be a big problem. So we hope that it will not change. And I think the future we talked about just before is that everybody produce dry wines like before. Everybody works on the terroir to get really wines with taste, the earthy character. I think that's really the future, the way to go. And I think that the consumer, what are looking for, they want the authenticity, the character of the location. So I think that's important.
All right, and one last thing. Everybody talks about Alsace as the best place to visit for wine tourism. You know, everybody says, like, go to Alsace. You know, Bordeaux, they won't even talk to you. But go to Alsace. Everybody's friendly up there, and it's supposed to be really nice up there. Would you say that Alsace is the best place to visit?
Of course. Of course, no. I think there are other places in France who are nice, but what is sure is that the wineries in Alsace, I mean, the doors are open. I mean, you don't need a meeting. All the wineries are open from Monday to Saturday. You just go there and you can taste all the wines. You can visit the cellar. So it's very welcome, very open door. I mean, so you can be a connoisseur. You can, you have never tasted wine in your life. It doesn't matter. Everybody can come and discover what we do.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully going to get there this summer, actually, the end of summer. So anyway, thank you very much, Philippe, for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Cheers.